We've been talking about discipleship. We started with the last 5 or 6 verses of chapter 9, and we saw that Jesus had compassion on the people. And if we're going to be disciple makers, as God has called us to be, if we're walking in obedience, we've been converted, we've become a disciple, and we've become a disciple maker. As a disciple maker, we need to see people with compassion, as sheep without a shepherd. And this is what moved Jesus. This was his motivation. He was filled with compassion for the people. In fact, he looked over Jerusalem and said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wanted to gather you like a mother hen does her chicks. I wanted to bring you close to me." And so, friends and family, we need to have compassion. We need to work on that part. And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, gentleness, love, that we work and allow that to happen. So how do we see people? Do we see them with a compassionate heart? Do we see them instead of judging them, instead of being critical, well, that's what they get, or if they wouldn't have made that choice, oh, if you would have just listened to me. Instead of doing all that, let's say, okay, Lord, fill me with compassion that I may come again with them and try to point them in the right direction, and that direction is Jesus. You know, and our commission is Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go therefore in all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." The commission is to make disciples, but part of making disciples is going. So last week we saw 5 things about going. If you're going to go, we need to go with authority. We have the authority of God's word. We are God's authorized representatives in the world. We need to go with a focus. We need to go to focus in on people, and maybe you need to have a prayer list. We were challenged Friday night to pray for 7 people who need Christ. Who are you focusing in on? Are there people that you're trying to share the gospel with? We need to go with gospel urgency, because we don't know when the Lord's going to return. We don't know. We don't know when that's going to happen. So we need to share the gospel. We need to go in faith that God will take care of us, and we need to go to those who are receptive. So this morning, what we want to look at is verses 16 to 23 in Matthew chapter 10. And I want us to understand that following Jesus is not easy. Now, I don't know if when they shared Christ with you, they said, "Oh, God will deliver you from all your problems," and, "Oh, you won't have struggles no more," and, "Oh, this and that." And nothing's farther from the truth. Like we sang this morning, the battle rages on. The war has been won, but the battle rages on. There is a cost to following Jesus. Even the most beautiful rose garden, beautiful colors, beautiful aroma, still has thorns. We will face difficulties and we'll face obstacles as we journey with Christ, as we walk this path of discipleship, as we move forward. You know, we don't face the difficulties that other countries do, but here are some of the difficulties that I kind of just listed. Picking and choosing which issues to back. Which is the biblical path on the issues? And no matter where we stand with what Scripture says, there's going to be opposition to us. The difficulty of being drawn into controversial issues. Do we and should we get involved? That's a discernment issue. For some of you may be called to be a part of those issues, to help define a path, to help to define the right way in which we should go. But other of us, we get caught up in the emotion of it, and the anger of it, and the frustration of it. And we blast people for it. Maybe another difficulty that we have is learning to be patient to all the facts come through. I mean, just in recent months, we've already had 2 major issues. That if people would have waited for all the facts to come out to the investigation, and with one of the cases, all the investigation hasn't been done. But we're so quick to jump out there. Friends, if we're going to be quick to jump out there with something, it has to be the gospel. Maybe one of the difficulties is being shouted down for your beliefs. I don't know if you've been shouted down, or people have just ignored you, or they put the hand to you, or they walk away from you. That could be very difficult. Especially when you're being moved by compassion, when you see the need, if they would just turn to the gospel, their life would obviously be different to a degree. Other countries have to face this. We haven't faced this, but being beaten and imprisoned for confessing loyalty to Jesus Christ. Just recently in China, you have to register your church with the state. They want to know what churches are out there. But just recently, one of the big churches that's not registered, the government was trying to enforce them to put video cameras so the government could monitor inside the sanctuary, so they could monitor who was going in and who's there and who and what you're saying. The church refused. The pastor was arrested. The leadership was arrested. People involved with the church have been arrested. Would you come to church if the chance of being to the church service if the chance of being arrested was there? Would you stand up and preach the gospel to somebody if the danger was to be thrown in jail? People have faced death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is warning the disciples here, it's not going to be easy. You know, one of the problems, the big problems we face in this country? Prosperity. Keeping the fire lit in the midst of prosperity. We get comfortable. It gets easy. Well, it's not that big a deal. Well, you know, my neighbors, they're not bad. They're good people. But are they Christ followers? You know, we have a moral society for the most part. Not everybody. I mean, there's a lot of loudness. But if we're honest with ourselves, the people in our neighborhood are fairly moral people. They are law-abiding. They struggle with the same issues we struggle. But are they saved? Are they gospel people? And they're keeping that fire lit in times of prosperity. You know, right now we all have our heaters on, our furnaces on, our fireplaces on. But come spring, come summer, what's going to happen with that fire? We're going to turn it off, right? We don't need a fire. We don't need the, well, most of us, right, Norman, most of us don't need the heater in the summer. But when we talk about the gospel fire in us, the fire for Christ likeness, that stays on summer, winter, and fall. It stays on all the time. So how do we maneuver these difficulties? Christ has not promised to eliminate the difficulties in life. I just want to set you up with that right now. That's a fallacy. We're not set up to have an easy life. There are some preaching that, though. There are some out there preaching that you should always be rich, you should always be good looking, you know, that should. But that's not true. That's not true. So we come to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 to 23. The scripture reads, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say. For it will be given to you in the hour that what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." Friends, that sound like an easy time? That sound like a rose garden? That sound like prosperity there? Friends, as we study in Matthew 10, there are some specific things that he is telling the disciples, specific things that are applicable only to them. But the principles apply to us. There's some general principles here that we see. And the first one is this, that we are to maneuver the difficulties with wisdom. We're to maneuver the difficulties with wisdom. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." What's he saying? Jesus is saying, I'm putting you out there in tough territory. I'm putting you out there in enemy territory. I'm putting you out there in dangerous territory. If you've been hiking in Turnbull Canyon, you need to be aware. There are rattlesnakes up there. You have to be aware there are coyotes up there. You have to be aware that every now and then there's a mountain lion. I remember one of my friends, he's, "Man, I wish we could get rid of all these animals." I said, "Well, wait a minute. We're in their territory. We're invading their territory. You have to walk with wisdom." There was this one of the times, my friends were running, and a rattlesnake just leaped out at them. Friends, God is sending us out. And the reason he's sending us out is because that's where the gospel is needed. Don't think he's just being mean, and why would he do this to us? Why would he send us out in such dangerous territory? Because that's where the gospel is needed. You know, again, he says, I didn't come to heal the healthy. I came to heal the sick. I came to bring the gospel to the sinners. He's sending out, he says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the middle. Not coyotes. Coyotes tend to be a little scared of you. They put their way from you. They walk on the other side for the most part. Wolves, they run in packs. And sheep are defenseless. They have no mechanism in them to defend themselves. And are led away from poisonous food. Sheep can find themselves in trouble quickly. But the promise here is that I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, as serpents, and as innocent as doves. Romans chapter 16, verse 19 says, for the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you, but I want you to be. In other words, Jesus is saying, be sober, be alert, be aware of your circumstances, be aware of your situations. Beware of the con man, beware of the deceiver. Beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Beware, be watchful, be alert, protect yourself, protect your family. We are living in a dangerous world. Choose what is good and stay away from evil. Because the Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way, its end is death. And he's saying, be discerning, be watchful. Watch where you go, watch where you step, keep your ears. You know, I can't tell you the number of times I've been up in Turnbull Canyon. And the people are talking, there was paying attention, and there was a snake laying right there in the ground. It wasn't coiled, it was just laid out sunning. And you should have seen the girl, she did a holy dance. Now what she saw, when they came by me, I said, yeah, that's why you got to keep your eyes open. People walk up there with their headphones, and have you ever heard a rattlesnake hiss? They're hissing they're rattles when they're ready to attack. There was another time, we were riding, and I just rode right by a smaller one. It wasn't a big one, but it was a smaller one. It coiled up, and I had to yell out, snake! And the guys behind me stopped until he relaxed, and then he just went off. There are teachings out there that we must be careful with. We must be discerning. We must be wise. Just because they call themselves a church, just because they call themselves a preacher of God's Word, just because they open a Bible, doesn't mean they're teaching the truth. I don't want to give you the impression that we're the only ones teaching the truth, because we're not. There are a lot of churches out there. But be discerning, be wise, be watchful on who you listen to on YouTube or catch on a podcast, because we need to be shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves. John MacArthur says, being true to God's word and uncompromising proclaiming the gospel does not require and should never include being abrasive, coarse, inconsiderate, belligerent, blatant, or blunt. Be innocent as doves. Be caring, be loving, be compassionate. Don't be afraid to speak the truth, but we don't have to slam people with our Bibles. We don't have to insult them. We don't have to be sarcastic with them. The second thing we see here, maneuver the difficulties while honoring the Lord. We honor the Lord with our words. But he says in verse 17, but beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in synagogues. You will even be brought before governors and for kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. In other words, honor the Lord in how you react and how you act. Bob Vernon was assistant police chief in LAPD. I think he was second to Gates. Gates was the chief of police? I was going to say Bill Gates, but it's not him. Daryl Gates, thank you. Daryl Gates. And yet he was a man of God. He was a Christian. And this was the time when they were doing a lot of protesting, signs and blocking the driveways at the Planned Parenthood, where they would do abortions. And what he was getting, the pushback he was getting from other officers and other leadership in LAPD, is that the Christians who were being arrested were resisting arrest and were giving false names. If you're going to go out there and protest, don't resist arrest. Be respectful of people and give your real name. Because he said, they were blasting me for my testimony. See, your Christians can't even tell the truth. Friends, if we're going to be out there and we're going to protest, some of you are called to protest. It may not be your calling. It may not be your gift. You may not stand in front of Planned Parenthood. There are some who do it on the one on Painter. And I've seen them at the one on Potrero Grande, where they are out there with their signs. But be respectful. Love them. Honor God as you go about your journey and about your life. You know, follow the rules. Listen to what's going on. He's saying, honoring God is important. Why? Because look at verse 18. They will bring you before governors and for kings for my sake, as a testimony to them. So as we're preaching the gospel, as we're living Christian life, as we're following the morals and values of Scripture, people will be offended. I mean, right now, because we stand on truth, what God's word says about homosexuality, we're called hateful people. We're called hate mongers. We're called all kinds of things. Friends, there's nothing farther from the truth. We love people. That's why we share the gospel with them. That they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and that they can walk in that obedience. That they would be filled with joy and peace and they would have that reward of eternal life. You're not a friend. You're not loving people when you don't bring to their attention. They're going in the wrong direction. Matthew 13:9 says, be on guard. Be on your guard. For they will deliver you to the courts. You will be flogged in the synagogues. And you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. So when we're being mistreated or persecuted or given a hard time, remember, you're a testimony of the Lord to the unbelieving world. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 says, they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. Honor God. He goes on to say that they went out and preached anyway. There is a time for civil disobedience. And I want you to hear me well on this. When the government is telling us by setting up laws to disobey God, we have to obey God. Though we live in a country where we're not being forced by our laws to disobey God at this point. Well, what about abortion? Nobody's forcing anybody to have an abortion. If it was like in China, where they said you can only have, two children, after that you have to have an abortion, then that's a law contrary to God's word. But so far, so good in this country, that I'm aware of, maybe you could tell me after service, of a law that you know would cause us to disobey God. Most of our laws in this country are for our well-being. We may not agree with all of them, right? Right? And I know we don't because I've seen some of you speeding on the highway. The third thing we see here. Maneuver the difficulties, relying on the Spirit. Look at verse 19. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour, what you are to say. Now, let me give you the proper interpretation of this. This does not mean you don't prepare if you're going to teach a Bible study. The Holy Spirit will give it to me. No, that's not what he's saying here. If you're called to teach or to speak, and you know in advance, prepare. Be prepared. Search the Scriptures. Pray. Get the meaning and the understanding of what you're teaching to the best of your ability. This is not talking about that. I've heard some say that they use that verse incorrectly. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when you get arrested, when you get put on the spot, when they confront you, because a lot of times we don't like to witness because they're going to ask us a question we might not be able to answer. How many of you ever are in that place? I know I've been in that place before. I'm afraid they're going to ask me something. I can't answer that. And you know what? The best answer is, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. Well, the truth, if you know it, if you have the answer. But if you don't have the answer, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. I don't know, but I'll get back to you. Let me talk to Saul and I'll get the answer for you. Let me talk to Eddie, I'll get the answer for you. I'll talk to somebody and I'll come back to you. But he says, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Think about this. When Stephen was stoned, when they put Stephen on the spot, he preached a message. He hadn't prepared to preach that message, but the Spirit of God gave it to him. And he was ready to go because the Spirit of God gave it to him. You know, have you ever responded to somebody and you think, man, where did that come from? I know I have. I think, wow, that was good. I didn't even think about that before. I never heard that before, but that was right on. You ever in that situation? Don't be afraid to put yourself in that situation, because when you do that, we talked about this last week, going in faith. We think that the idea was just, oh, God will provide your pocketbook, your food, your clothing, and all that. He does do that, but he also grants us wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, what does James say? Ask of God, and how's he going to give it to you? Abundantly, generously, he'll give it to you. Luke chapter 12. Verse 11 says, when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to say to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. What he is also saying is, you rely on the Spirit. Stop. Don't try to defend yourself. How many of you, or maybe you have children like this, when you ask them something, oh, it wasn't me. Oh, there's that commercial out there right now. It wasn't me, right? It wasn't me. I didn't do it. When Jesus was confronted at his trial, he didn't speak a word in his defense. Friends, let's not try to blame. Let's not try to think of an answer or an excuse. Let's just stay quiet and let the Spirit of God lead you in this conversation, in this discussion. It says in Acts 4:8, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to them. It talks about Paul being filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 13. Friends, when we walk filled with the Spirit, God gives us what we need to say. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. You know, here, the apostles, they stood up to the Pharisees, educated men, and these were When they saw Peter and John, they said, aren't those untrained men who walked with Jesus? Well, they say the same thing about you. Look at those untrained people who walked with Jesus. And friends, the walking with Jesus trumps the being untrained. It doesn't mean we don't get training. It doesn't mean we don't study. It doesn't mean we don't dig into the Word, but that we spend time walking with Jesus. Because that trumps everything. The fourth thing that we see here, maneuvering the difficulties, enduring with hope. Look at verse 21. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. This, in its context, is probably speaking of the tribulation time, which is still a yet future event. But we've seen this happen, right? We've seen parents and children rebelling against their parents. Parents, some of you did everything you could to raise your kids and train your kids to walk with God. And they've chosen their own path, right? They've chosen to walk away from these truths, these things that compel our hearts, the things that lead us, and the things that we desired for them. Again, you don't have to raise your hands, but you know who you are. I know we are in the same boat. We raise our kids and send them to Christian school and do all these things. They don't raise their hand at us, but they walk. But we need to endure that with hope. I used to allow that to hold me back. But you know, my children are all adults, and they make their choices and decisions on how they're going to follow God, or if they're going to follow God. We set them up. We created the right environment for them. Were we perfect parents? By no means. But we set up the stage for them to have success spiritually. Could we have pushed them more educationally? Probably so. But spiritually, we provided for them a lot of things that they would succeed. But they're adults, and they make their choices. But we endure with hope that one day they will recognize and see the truth and the realities of these things. Verse 22, you will be hated all. Why? Because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Again, looking down the corridor of time, Jesus is telling them, this is what's going to happen. But friends, you and I see the struggles. You and I see the battles. People willing to sell their friends out just to save their own neck. In Acts, it says, so they went out on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they have been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Friends, it's a badge of honor when we're treated badly, when we're persecuted for his sake. Not because of our stupidity, our foolishness, our unwise choices, but because of his name. So if you're arrested for being a Christian and you endure the persecution, then consider it an honor because you're suffering for his sake. Peter tells us, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. It also says in chapter 3, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. James says, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing, that the Lord is full of compassion and is as you endure with hope the trials and the struggles and the difficulties and the obstacles, remember, the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Paul told the Galatians, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. For Paul had been beaten, Paul had been shipwrecked, Paul had been left for dead, Paul had been stoned. He had scars on him because he was a preacher of Christ, because he was a Christ follower. Friends, let us not be ashamed of our God. Let us not be ashamed while we deny God. Let us not be embarrassed that we are Christians, that we have a family name that is high and lifted up. That name is Christ. And we must follow him. On this path as a disciple maker, friends, there are obstacles, there are difficulties, there are struggles. But we can maneuver these things because God is with us. The Bible's clear. This life is not easy. The Bible's clear. We have opposition. The Bible's clear that some of us suffer more than others. But let us remember, when we suffer for Christ's sake. And when the trials come, when the difficulties seem to be overbearing, we have the promise of Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be with us. What greater promise can we have? Let us not shy away from the difficult path. Let's be faithful in God's call to us. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.